This is DW News and these are our top stories. A top UN official has told leaders at the Munich Security Conference that an arms embargo on war-torn Libya is not being enforced. A ceasefire agreement struck last month in Berlin has been repeatedly violated. The evacuation of hundreds of US passengers stuck on a cruise ship in Japan has now begun. Over 350 people are infected with the coronavirus on board. The Diamond Princess has been quarantined off Yokohama for 14 days. Storm Dennis is battering the UK with hurricane-force winds, torrential rain and flooding. The storm has been blamed for at least three deaths and has disrupted travel across the UK. A German court has ordered US electric vehicle maker Tesla to stop clearing forest near Berlin to build its first European factory. The ruling comes after the State Environmental Office gave the green light to clear 92 hectares of forest for the plant. This is DW News from Berlin. For more, you can follow us on Twitter or visit our website. That's dw.com.
It is winter in Germany. That brings cool, often rainy weather and grey skies. A good time to be somewhere bright and cheerful. Cologne might be just the ticket. It's North Rhine-Westphalia's oldest and biggest city and a hub of the arts. The Rhine is the lifeline of the city. Only from the east side of the Rhine do you get a clear view of the city's landmark, the Cologne Cathedral.
Anyone planning a sightseeing tour in Cologne should pace themselves very well. In addition to the cathedral, there are 12 Romanesque churches, about 70 theaters, many musical venues, over 40 breweries, an opera, 9 city museums, and of course, carnival. So I would say, winter blues don't stand a chance in Cologne.
The Instagram Museum guarantees a good time with a focus on the visitors themselves. A visit to Cologne's underground is a journey into the distant past. And if your blood sugar is running low, these local sweets ought to pick you up. Cologne Cathedral. Honestly, I feel as small as an ant when I look up at this building. It's 157 meters high. Construction began in 1248, almost 800 years ago. All of Europe at that time was building churches. Every self-respecting bishop wanted his own Gothic cathedral. But in Cologne, there was another reason. This golden shrine. The bones of the three Magi are kept here. In 1164, Cologne's archbishop, Reinhard von Dassel, brought the precious relics here from Milan. The cathedral was built to present the bones in the best way. It took, believe it or not, 600 years for his dream to come true. The cathedral was only inaugurated in 1880. And it is still a construction site. Something is always being repaired and refurbished. And sometimes something new is added, like the windows in the south transept, which the world-famous painter Gerhard Richter designed.
Cologne is not only impressive above ground, but also underground. I am currently standing on over 2,000 years of city history, on the remains of medieval Roman and Jewish culture. And in some places, you can still see that past.
Excavations have been underway in front of Cologne City Hall since 2007. The archaeological finds dug up here may one day join the collection in a new museum with 8,500 square meters of exhibition space both above and below ground. The remains of the magnificent Roman buildings lie beneath foundations left from the Frankish period. The city's Jewish roots can also be traced here. A synagogue stood on this spot over 1,000 years ago. Tours of the excavation sites are offered regularly. The museum is set to open in 2021. It will be the only one of its kind in Europe. My second tip, the Basilica of St. Severin in southern Cologne. It has a double floor. Beneath the impressive interior is an intriguing crypt. Almost 2,000 years ago, the local Roman elite buried their dead on this site. Visible are stacks of coffins carved from stone, many perfectly preserved. Somewhat morbidly, the church's builders used the coffins as blocks for the foundation. But that does not detract from its beauty. Our final glimpse of underground Cologne takes a strong stomach and nose. Welcome to the sewers. Their construction in 1890 marked a breakthrough in the design of modern sewage systems. The people of Cologne were so proud, they invited the emperor and hung up this chandelier for the occasion. But they were disappointed. The emperor never showed up. Today, other celebrations are often held here.
Of course, there are other cities offering underground tours, such as Hamburg and Berlin. But not only do we offer tours to show people these places, we added something more. We put on concerts once a year.
Sewers with sound, something you can probably only find in Cologne. Whether you're interested in going underground, seeing churches, contemplating art, or savoring good food, there is a tour for everyone in Cologne. I'm interested in the Brauhaus culture and the cult of Cologne's Kölsch beer.
There he is, hi.
I'm Lucas.
Hi, I'm Mattia. Good to have you here. First, we'll be going to the Früh, one of the largest breweries here, and by the way, the second biggest gastronomic establishment in Germany. Who do you say is number one? Any idea?
Munich's Hofbräuhaus?
Right, the Hofbräuhaus in Munich. Very good. In second place is, of course, the Früh here in Cologne. How many seats would you guess we have here?
1,200?
Close, good estimate.
1,500?
Perfect.
Cologne's Brauhauses have their very own rules, and we need a crash course.
The most important rule for the Brauhaus, you always set your own table. Everyone take a coaster, very important. All right, now right off, you'll see that the Kölsch appears by itself. This is the Kürbis, the most important man in the place. Okay, cheers. And always clink a Kölsch glass at the bottom.
Why?
If you just take a look at the glass, you'll be able to figure it out for yourself.
Nope.
The glass is narrower at the top than at the bottom. After you've downed a few Kölsch and give the glass a proper clink, the glass will break. So you should always touch glasses at the bottom. Remember that forever, it's very important. The beer coaster itself has an extremely important function. Of course, it goes under the Kölsch and serves as our tab. They make marks on it. Also very important here in Cologne, when you get to where you don't want any more Kölsch, you have to put the coaster on top of the glass. Then you won't get a new one.
Prost. Prost. Wenn's schon fast leer.
We leave the Früh and head for the Pfaffen, Brauhaus number 2.
Here you see a very, very typical component of a Cologne Brauhaus. This is the confessional. Now you may wonder why it's called that. It's because it resembles a real confessional. You see that it's decked out a bit like in a church. That's like the boss's office. Boss means boss. He sits there because that's where he's got the whole establishment under control.
Nothing to do with the church.
Basically, it has nothing to do with the church.
Prost.
Cheers.
Next stop, the Gildenzims, with its historic vaults. It was discovered just a few years ago during construction work. It's pretty gloomy down here.
Here in Cologne, not only do we have the Kölsch beer, unique to the region, but our own Brauhaus food. It's quite different from what you find in Bavaria's Brauhauses. We have our own specialities. For instance, we have chicken halves. Does anyone know what that is?
Well, half a chicken?
No, that's exactly what it isn't. So, now you're wondering, it's not a chicken at all.
Cheese and onions on bread.
Right, it's a roll of rye bread with a slice of matured gouda, some onions and mustard. Sometimes a dill pickle comes with it. That's a half rooster in Cologne.
Delicious!
Yeah.
Cologne's Brauhauses are really a world of their own. You just have to know a few of the quirks.
From a brewery to a bakery. Well, we want to show you some specialties that sweeten the winter here in Cologne. Mutzenmandeln, Krebelcher and other goodies. They are very popular here during the carnival season.
When revelers are celebrating carnival by the thousands, it's time for Cologne's bakeries to get down to work. Fools need sweet stuff. Most of all, they like Mutzenmandeln, a Rhenish treat and as much a part of carnival as the cathedral is of Cologne.
It has to be crispy on the outside and not too soft on the inside because it has to absorb a lot. At carnival you drink Kölsch, so you've got to have a Mutzenmandel in your bag. That's a pastry that's ideal for carnival. That's pure Cologne carnival.
And this is how they're made. For the dough you need flour, ground almonds and melted butter. First, you mix the marzipan with the sugar and eggs. Then, a shot of rum goes into the mix. The thick almond paste has to stand overnight before it's ready to be cut out.
The Mutzenmandeln got their name because they look like almonds and contain lots of almonds. Actually, for the most part, they consist of almonds.
A dip in hot oil makes them nice and crispy. Golden brown calorie bombs with 600 kilocalories per 100 grams. Much the same goes for other staple carnival treats. The more fat, the better. That's intended and prescribed by centuries of church tradition.
Carnival is the time before Lent. Everywhere in the world where carnival is celebrated, it's a time before you're not supposed to eat certain things, and above all, things high in fat.
Up until Ash Wednesday, when Lent begins, the revelers in Cologne can eat with no guilty feelings. And the Mutzenmandeln in particular are a sweet little sin all to themselves.
Time for some exercise.